From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. You can subscribe to this pod on Apple Podcasts, or you can download the Wildcaster app, which is free and available in the App Store and Google Play. I'm Justin Spears here with Bruce Pasco. We're sitting at the Galen Center. The Arizona Wildcats getting blown out 80-57 to the USC Trojans. Bruce Pasco, I just got to get your thoughts on this game. Chase Jeter missed the game because of a back injury he suffered against Oregon State last week. Arizona went with Ryan Luther at the center spot. USC definitely dominated the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, I think even with Jeter, it was going to be a tough matchup for them. Those two guys are playing really well for USC inside. And I think Jeter he's been sort of their most consistent player, kind of core to that team, a center spot, literally and figuratively. Just that without him, pulling him out of there was almost like maybe it's an exaggeration, but it's almost like a house of cards kind of deal where a lot of things kind of avalanched when he's out there, because they got beat rebounding, they got beat offensively inside a lot, and then I think it affected their game, certainly. Both sides of the court, they were having trouble inside, and it seemed to snowball into a lot of problems. I mean, it even came down to they weren't even making layups. And I mean, and you can't pin that all on Jeter, but I just think it kind of threw them out of their rhythm, on top of the fact that they're playing a pretty talented team away from home and a lot of zone defense, and, forcing them to take some shots that just weren't happening tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought with Chase Jeter being out of the game, and he came out and had some shots during warm-ups, and you thought, okay, he might give it a go, but the way he was kind of moving, it wasn't full contact.
Yeah,
he wasn't actually in warm-ups. It was just him getting some shots up.
Yeah.
But even without him, and even with him, Arizona, I thought, were almost underdogs in this scenario, because USC is a team that a lot of people picked to either win the Pac-12 or at least finish in the top half. And USC came out and they dominated without Chase Jeter. I thought, like I said, with Chase Jeter, I thought USC would have had the upper hand because they're at home. They're playing with some hunger right now. But without Chase Jeter, it was a totally different ball game. Sean Miller said after the game that this is the smallest team he's ever coached in 15 years. So we're going all the way back to the Xavier days. Is he over-exaggerating?
Well, as I kind of tried to ask him about, I think in 11-12 he started Jesse Perry, who was 6'7 at center a lot of that season. So that was a pretty small team. However, if you look at the four matchup tonight, and this is probably where, and granted that was 6 years ago now, but or 7 years ago, I think you're looking at the fact tonight that you have a guard, 6'5", Dylan Smith, out there on Benny Boatwright. Yeah, I think believe you have Brandon Williams there at times. I mean, just so you could make the argument that maybe it's the smallest overall because he had a 6'5" guy out there. But he, and he's got Justin Coleman under 6 foot playing the point, and not a lot of size. Brandon Randolph's got some size, but yeah, it's certainly. It's got to be up there. Yeah, it's probably, I don't know how, but I'm sure if you're Sean Miller, it's everything's really recent and this is what you're thinking, and it's got to be worse than you maybe remember some of the past teams. And, he actually had some bigger teams at Xavier, I believe, and maybe that 1 year at U of A was maybe a little bit smaller, but that is... So it's not too far off whatever he's saying there.
What's the constant that Arizona is missing? Because when you're an undersized team, normally you shoot a lot. You shoot a lot of three-pointers.
Yeah.
You have a high percentage. You shoot the ball at a high clip. They shot the ball well against Oregon State, and that was how they kind of weathered Chase Jeter being out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But against USC on Thursday night, it was... the ball just simply did not go in.
Yeah.
Arizona was missing layups. They shot 20% from three-point range. And I included this in my rail story, which is on the Seen and Heard, available on Tucson.com. Arizona, they were on pace to having their worst three-point percentage night of the entire season. They were on par or on pace to shoot 11% from three-point range.
Yeah, they were 2 for 20 at one point.
And
right.
because of Brandon Randolph knocking down a pair of three-pointers at the end, it kind of boosted it up a little bit, and they finished the night at 20%, which is very bad. And that's the thing I say is, when you're undersized, the one thing you have to have is consistency scoring the ball. And Arizona, while they do have some offensive weapons on their team, they're not scoring the ball consistently.
Well, they've never, you know, they've never been this is not an offensively powerful team in many ways. And even Chase Jeter is not the offensive player you had in DeAndre Ayton or Lauri Markkanen or even Dušan Ristić. And they've compromised that. They're trying to win games by taking care of the ball and, you know, rebounding as well as they can and hitting shots when they can. It's, you know, they've really squeezed a lot of the potential this team out of it, and you know, but there's a lot of downsides, and we saw that tonight. And I think you're right, we were talking about a little before the game, they were going to have to shoot. There's no question they were going to have to shoot, and they just didn't. I mean, it was a kind of a combination, like Oregon, they took some bad shots. It seemed like tonight it was a combination of some really tough shots they were throwing up, and you knew they weren't going to go in, but they also missed some bunnies. I mean, they missed layups and putbacks that normally go in for them, and you know, some of that may be bad luck, but it seemed like their confidence might have been down, and you know, maybe some of it was frustration was building, and you know, those are not good things, especially after they appeared to turn it around last week against Oregon State and really came back so well from that loss to Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Just how bad this loss was, it's the largest margin of loss for Arizona since 1973. December of 1973.
Against USC?
Against USC.
Yeah.
So, largest margin of loss against USC for the Wildcats. When the Wildcats were in the WAC, can you name anybody that was on that 1973-74 team? Fred Snowden was... Yeah, Eric Money.
Yeah. That was a whole different deal there, but mm-hmm. Yeah,
it wasn't funny. Arizona at that point.
Yeah, and you think about it, and that really speaks to the tradition this program has built in the last 20, 30 years. When you think about it, like, I mean, you have years like this, and you get used to seeing them lose by double digits, but they don't usually lose over the vast history of the last three decades. They don't lose by double digits very often.
Yeah,
it's really unusual, and you know, and we saw it tonight, and we saw it against Baylor, and you know, but again, this is a sort of a unusual year for many reasons.
Mm-hmm. Where does Arizona go from here? They got UCLA on Saturday. Sean Miller says he still doesn't know whether or not Chase Jeter will be ready to play against the Bruins. I'm guessing just by looking at tonight, it doesn't look good for them because it's a quick turnaround. You got all day tomorrow and then most of Saturday, so you have a little under 2 days to get ready. And Chase Jeter didn't even play any minutes against USC on Thursday. Where you look at Justin Coleman's injury from earlier this year, it was a shoulder one. And it seemed like the way they talked about it, it was almost worse than what Chase Jeter is going through. But he was still able to come off the bench one game and then start the next game. So Coleman's injury isn't as bad as Chase Jeter's is right now.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, there's different. I don't know.
I mean, shoulders and back is apples.
Yeah, it probably was worse in that sense. But that back, especially when you're 6'10" or 6'11", it can, you know, the stiffness, the pain that you can be, you know, like Jeter was out there doing some light stuff today, but if he takes one hard shot and falls in the wrong place, and that, you know, that tissue can spasm up again, and then he goes back to the starting point. So I think he has to get to some place where he's really comfortable. That's not going to happen again. And my guess would be the way Miller was talking, especially, and what we saw of Jeter out here today. It sounded to me like he probably needs another week of rest. But, but you know, they do have, you know, I'm sure they'll be working on him, you know, with rehab technology they have for stimulation or whatever they're going to do the next 48 hours and try and get him out there. But, you know, I don't think they will put him out there until they're pretty sure he doesn't have any risk of making it worse, because there's too much to lose there, you know, by putting him out, and you don't want him going back to the starting point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say Chase Jeter does come back. Does Sean Miller start him? Or is it kind of, we're going to give you some minutes, we'll see how it goes. If you're good, we'll continue to play you. Yeah. If not, we'll just yank you from the game.
Well, he's typically, usually in these cases, he won't start a guy. He'll come off the bench with him and see how it goes, and then he'll start the next game if everything's okay.
Yeah.
I think, so, yeah, I wouldn't that's what I would expect in this one. But then again, I mean, Jeter's, he's a little bit different category in that he is so experienced and he's this captain and he knows what he's doing and everybody trusts him. So if Jeter came to Sean Miller and said, hey, I'm fine, I'm ready, let's go, then maybe he does start. But, you know, but I don't, yeah, I just don't, it just doesn't sound to me like he's there yet. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a better feel of where this team stands in terms of postseason play? Because, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about Arizona being the top team in the Pac-12 and how, oh man, they're
well,
actually...
Well, we were also talking about how the schedule turned tougher.
Exactly.
And we're seeing it right
exactly,
now.
Because they hadn't played the Oregon schools
right.
yet.
Right.
They were coming off a road trip against Cal and Stanford. One of those teams is the worst team in the Pac-12. Stanford is kind of a middle of the pack, second tier Pac-12 team, so they're not really that great. But
yeah.
now, you know, fast forward a
and
couple.
And those were almost virtual home
yeah.
court environments.
Oh yeah,
because
I mean,
neither
of
those team gets fans, and
yeah.
the Arizona fans were pretty supportive up there. So,
but
it
but
was
now,
a little bit deceiving as a road sweep. But you know,
yeah.
it's still impressive to win away from home anywhere. But mm-hmm. but you know,
but it's Cal and Stanford at
yeah.
the end of the day, and not to discredit anything about them, but it's Cal and Stanford. Now you fast forward a couple weeks later, Arizona, they lose to Oregon. They beat a tough Oregon State team, and then they get blown out here at the Galen Center by USC. Like, is Arizona a tournament team? I can honestly sit here and say, from what I saw tonight, there's no way this team's a tournament team. No
yeah.
way.
Well,
No way.
You know, but I always go back to October and September, and I didn't project them as a tournament team then either. So, you know. I think I've been surprised they've won some games I didn't think they would win, and you know they're going to have, you know, they're still going to have a chance to make a run for it here, but this is a really tough stretch of the schedule, and they've got to keep their confidence up and get through it, and trying to get a couple wins out of this the next few weeks, and then they go into, you know, middle late February maybe make a run for it. But you know, unfortunately for them, the Pac-12 has played so poorly that there's really not a lot of great wins you can pick up anymore, and I think that's going to be as big as anything. I mean, really, Arizona's best win, you know, might still be Iowa State in Maui,
yeah.
and there's not a lot of opportunities. There are going to be two opportunities against ASU, only one against Washington at home. That's really a must win if they have any hope of making the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but yeah, it's they're definitely going to be. Their backs are, you know, even though it's January, still you kind of can see that their backs are up against the wall as far as that goes.
When's the last time you said that about an Arizona team? They're in the month of January,
well,
and their backs are against the wall.
Yeah, it goes back to 11-12, same situation there, and they went to the NIT, you know. And then that 9-10 team, I seem to, that first Sean Miller team, that was the team where there were still some hope I think they had in January, but it quickly went south, and they didn't. That mm-hmm. team didn't go anywhere in the postseason.
So Arizona, they got UCLA on Saturday. Tip-off set for 8 p.m. You can follow the Wildcaster for all of your live coverage. Bruce, real quick before we go, the McDonald's All-American rosters were announced on Thursday. Nico Mannion and Josh Green, both Arizona signees. Nico Mannion, the five-star point guard from Phoenix. Josh Green, the Australian wing, who plays at IMG Academy in Florida, former teammate of DeAndre Ayton at Hillcrest Prep, was about what you expected it to be, those two guys
yeah,
getting on the roster?
Yeah, and, you know, and I asked Sean Miller about it the other day. He said, you expect me? He looked at me like, are you kidding me? You know, of course they're going to make it. And they did. I mean, they're both top 20 type players. And I think actually, I mean, they would be that way anyway, but I think in this particular class, it's not maybe as strong as some of the classes are in guard, so they really stand out. I mean, they're really among a small handful of really big time players, and I think, you know, as we're talking about this season, I think that's the one thing that's, you know, kind of in everybody's mind is that things could radically change next year, you know.
Arizona fans have been thinking that for a long time
yeah.
now.
Well,
it's next year. Wait till,
you know,
next year.
But it's crazy to think. I mean, those two guys, if they were here now and eligible, they'd be getting big minutes. If,
yeah.
You know, and who knows? So it's really something to them that they made it, and also that they made it from the West. A lot of people complain that sometimes the West gets underrepresented in the McDonald's game, but those two guys, you know, were kind of, it appears, no-brainers to make it. Mm-hmm.
Mannion becomes the first Phoenix native, and I mean native, because DeAndre Ayton, we talked about this on the car ride to the Galen Centers. Ayton is from the Bahamas, but he played prep ball in Phoenix at Hillcrest Prep. I don't consider him a Phoenix native, but Mannion becomes the first Phoenix native since Jared Bayless in 2007. When Bayless played at St. Mary's, he was named to the McDonald's All-American game. Could you name the other Phoenix or the Arizona natives, I should say?
Well, you got Richard Jefferson and Mike Bibby.
And Sean Elliott was actually, I looked it up, Sean Elliott was.
He was, yeah. Yes. Okay, I was wondering if that was before the game even started, but yeah. Yeah. And it's a credit to Arizona that every one of those guys they've gotten.
Yeah.
You know, they don't lose McDonald's All-Americans that come from the state.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then Josh Green's kind of in the same boat as Ayton, where he's sort of an Arizona guy, but he's really Australian, and his family is in Phoenix now. They moved to have him play at Hillcrest with Ayton when he was a sophomore, I believe, and Ayton was a senior on that team. Mm-hmm.
What's Nico Mannion's ceiling for Arizona? I know that's the guy that everybody wants to talk about because he's the redheaded kid from Phoenix. He's flashy. People know him more just because he has that in-state factor. I like Nico Mannion a lot because I think he can come in next year and start right away because Justin Coleman's going to be gone.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to move Brandon Williams over to the point guard spot because when you have a guy like Nico Mannion on roster, you want to be able to keep
Williams
at the two.
Right, I think B-Will will be in a similar situation next year where he'd be playing a little bit of both but more off the ball probably with Mannion being what he is.
So does that make Nico Mannion's ceiling higher than maybe a Josh Green? Because Josh Green would have to battle with a Dylan Smith and maybe even a Brandon Randolph for heavy minutes and sometimes
That's gonna be something. But it could be really interesting to see where I think both of those guys were the reason why Miller was talking even in October about, hey, we're gonna go to a three guard system. Now he's actually going with a four guard system. But I think that is the future of this team, and I think Green's gonna get minutes, and they'll just mix it up however it works out. But it's he could have a guy like Brandon Randolph even move to the four in some cases, just like he's having Dylan Smith do it, or do that again next year and still find time. I mean, Josh Green is good enough. I think they're gonna make room for him there somewhere, and it's gonna be fun to watch that how that play out, which options they go with.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, the USC cleanup crew is trying to kick us out right now, so I think it's time to wrap it up, Bruce.
Yeah.
Arizona.
The vacuum cleaners have stopped, and now they're just, like, cleaning up popcorn or something.
And they're all staring at us, hoping that we get a move on. So, anyways, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Arizona Wildcats fall to USC 80-57 at the Galen Center. Up next, Wildcats take on UCLA Saturday at 8 p.m. Tucson time. You can follow the Wildcaster on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can download the Wildcaster app. Available on the App Store and Google Play for all your coverage. For Bruce, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.